If you have a child in our youth department, I'm going to ask that y'all expediently come over here right after the church service, or you stay, because I have just an announcement that I want to give you in regards to our youth. So again, it won't be long, but I'm going to ask that you come in here, and Pastor Dustin will be in here also, and we just want to talk to you just briefly about some things that are going to take place in the new year. So again, if you have a youth and they're over there, the youth are going to stay there. You guys stay here and give me just a minute or two to talk to you. 34 years ago, actually 36 years ago, I had someone that came into my life. My life was a mess, and I didn't want even at some point in time to even live anymore. And God brought this woman that sits down right here in front of me. Amen. Amen. And amen. 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 Well, we got 35 years together. Amen. And if anybody says miracles do not work, I got to tell you that this is a miracle for anybody to stay with me that long. Okay? So, honey, come here. I love you. And happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you.
Amen. 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 She's a very sweet, sweet, loving, kind lady, and she has blessed me, but she has blessed this church in so, so many different ways. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I love you, Pastor.
Amen. 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 She is truly a blessing to me. Yeah, Pam keeps saying she's the winner. I don't understand what that means, but, you know. Yeah. Amen. Well, today we have talked about Santa Claus. We have talked about the Christmas tree. Today we're going to talk about the candy cane. You know, and one of the things that I'm finding out, the longer that church life goes, and this would be 30 years, for our family in the ministry, 21 years here, 20 years here. But our greatest challenge is to share Christ with the world. Paul says, I want to be all things to all people. And the challenge for us is to try to be all things to all people, and that is a very difficult task to do in 2019. Recently, Pam read an article where they were talking about the attendance in church, just not our church, but the attendance across the board in church life is dropping. And I want that to change in our church. You know, we have no control over what the other churches do, but I want us to get to a place that church is the most important thing that we do. Okay? Larry Reed went into the hospital, and Mike McLean and I went over and prayed for Larry. Now, the doctor gave a very bleak report, you know, and if he had certain things, then they were going to just, you know, sew him back up, and then he would do chemo and radiation and all this other kind of nonsense. Well, we went over there, and we prayed, and I'm waiting for Mike, and I was reading the Bible. And it's when Peter walked on the water, and it said on the fourth watch of the night. Well, the fourth watch of the night is between 3 and 6 in the morning. Well, it's 5:30. So when Mike picked me up, I said, I believe that there's a miracle still in the making this morning because it's between the third and the fourth watch. Well, we went over there. They did the test. They did whatever they had to do. There was nothing in the lymph nodes at all. So, amen, amen. So what they did is they took out the one piece that was bad, and they said, you know, he's going to have to stay in the hospital probably 4, 5, 6 days. Well, he stayed 2 days, and he's home, and it's all to the glory of God. Now, I say that to say this, that everybody in this church has a role. You guys are so important to the church, and those that are not here today are important to the church because we all have a task to do. Ed Franklin just had a pacemaker put in. So if you see him plugged up to a 110, don't worry about it. Okay, he's just getting recharged is all he's going to do. Okay, make it quick. Well, that's what Loopy said. Amen.
Number one, I was able to get the MRI, get my back fixed. What did we tell you? But it's gone. No more.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I can see good. My hearing ain't good yet, but I can see good.
Say what? Amen.
Monday morning, I thought I was going to get going out again, but 20 hours later, hadn't eaten a thing, they took me in.
Amen.
2 hours later, they brought me out with a pacemaker. What happened worse was the next one, Tuesday morning. Blood pressure went down to 60 on the high side, 40 on the low side. Well, blood pressure, believe it or not, the pacemaker brought me back up, and let me tell you something, I am healed.
Amen. 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 Well, here's what's important. It really doesn't make any difference as we share Christ what we use. If it's a Christmas tree, there's a true story behind the Christmas tree and how we can share Christ. Santa Claus, we can share Christ through the Santa Claus of St. Nick and how great and wonderful he was to those who were needing. And then we're going to talk about the candy cane today. But I want us, when we come to Christmas time, that all of these little symbols that we see, they are more than decorations. I believe that God has allowed us to have these so that you and I could share Christ. Before we read the scripture, let me tell you, in the 18th century in Europe, they had passed a law that you could not in any way, shape, or form use anything that would show an outward appearance that you were a Christian. You couldn't put up crosses, you couldn't put up trees, you couldn't do anything that would reflect your Christianity. Well, there was an old man who was a candy maker, and he said, you know, I can't do this. I've got to tell the world how much I love the Lord. So he began to pray to God, and he said, God, show me what I could do so that I still have the opportunity to share your story with the world. And God gave him the idea of the candy cane. Now, maybe you've never heard the story before, but if you look at a little candy cane, you can share the gospel with that little piece of candy. So let's read. It says, in the same region, there were some shepherds, and they were staying out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good news of great joy, which will be for all of the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Here's what I want you to look at first. First of all, it says in the same region there were some shepherds. See, shepherds were people that they were looked down upon. They lived with animals. They probably smelled like animals. They were the lowest of the low. And what I want us to see today is that it really doesn't make any difference who we are. If you're a multimillionaire or if you're down here in a lower economic status, God doesn't care. God wants to do something supernatural through everybody in this room so that you will go out and share the greatest story about the greatest person who ever lived, and his name is Jesus Christ. Give God a hand clap of praise. Now, again, who did God appear to? In the same region, shepherds, staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. Now, I got to tell you that if you and I are just outside tonight, and all of a sudden an angel goes, and they tell me, don't be terrified, I got to be telling you that that probably ain't going to happen, okay? And then the glory of the Lord shone around you, I'm telling you, it had to rack their little brains out there to go, oh my gosh. But I think when they sat down and began to think about how people treated them, but yet how the Word of God or how God treated them, they really found out that they were something and somebody. I don't know where you are in your life today. You might be struggling. You might be going through a whole lot of issues in your life. You might think that you're nothing at all. But if you are a born-again Christian, you are a child of the Most High God. You are heirs of Abraham. You are heirs according to every one of the promises that God has given. And you need to hold your head up high this Christmas. And you need to walk around and tell everybody, I am a child of the Most High God. Amen? Amen. Well, here's the other piece. Psalms 23:1, and you know this. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. See, the shepherd took care of the sheep. Now, we've joked about this, but you know, and I can't do that because it's illegal in 2020 or 19. But see, when the sheep would wander away, and he would go get them and bring them back, and the sheep would wander away again, and he would bring them back, they finally broke their legs. It's like, no, you ain't going nowhere. Well, we can't do that to people today in church, okay? You know, I just want you guys coming back, okay? Not because of me, but because of the presence of God that is in this church, and what God has done for us this Christmas ought to rock your world to go, I am going to put him number one in my life from this day forward. Amen? Now, if you look at a candy cane, the man that created it, the little man that created candy, said, what could I do? So he created the candy cane in a shape of the shepherd's hook. So when people would look at that candy cane, he could begin to tell the story of the Lord is our shepherd. Okay? Now, John 10:27. This is going to step on toes, but I mean to do it. I hear people all the time that go, I pray, but I don't hear from the Lord. That can't be. If you are a born-again believer, either you're talking too much to listen, which all too often is the problem, okay? Or maybe you're not who you think you are. Because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me. So if you're struggling right now with your walk, if you're going, you know, I pray, but I don't hear, then ask yourself the question, are you really, really a born-again believer? Or As I said, sometimes we just talk. Now, a conversation is two ways. You talk, you listen, he talks, he listens. But you have to get to a place in your life, honestly, where you pray. And then spend time where you say nothing. Because it's in the stillness of that conversation where the Lord begins to speak to you. Now, in Luke 1, he says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." So the candy man sat down and said, "If I make this piece of candy cane as a shepherd's hook, it will remind us of the shepherd." But he also said, "If I invert it and put it upside down, then that is a J, and that is the first letter of Jesus' name, so that people would understand who they have." Now, Matthew says, "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream." Now, the angel is talking to Joseph. First of all, the angel talks to Mary and says, "You're going to be with child." Mary says, "I don't know how this is going to happen." He says, "Because the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you will be with child." And her words were, "Do whatever you want. It is okay." Well, Joseph takes a little different look at this, and I think any guy would, but it says, "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and he says, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife.'" Now, he knows that Mary's pregnant, and in the back of his mind, as any man would who has been pledged, which is almost the same as being married, and your wife becomes pregnant, you're going to begin to think, what happened? So the angel of the Lord gets involved. He intervenes in this conversation. The Holy Spirit softens his heart, and he tells him, "Don't be afraid, because this is something very special that is happening to your family." So he says, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Now, the scripture will tell you, it says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Now, again, the man that made the candy formed it in a shepherd's hook. But then also, when he inverted it, it showed that that was a J, so that he could say the name Jesus. So it says, "His name is Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child." There are people today, there are pastors in the pulpits today that do not believe that Mary was a virgin. People will believe today that Jesus did not and was not conceived by a virgin by the name of Mary. Now, we have to get to the place, either you believe the Word of God or you don't believe the Word of God. And I'm going to share with you in a minute why that is so important, that we believe that the Holy Spirit came into Mary's life and gave her that child. Okay? Now, the other piece, it says, "Will shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Take all of this Christmas stuff down if you want to. Take all of our Christmas trees down. Take all of our decorations down. Take the Santa Claus out of the picture. Take everything you want down. But it still does not negate the fact that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He died. He was crucified. And on the third day, he rose again for people like you and me. But when all that is said and done, when we feel that no one's with us, Emmanuel, which translate God is with us. And it can't be a better Christmas to unwrap a present knowing that God is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He is here, and he will always be with you and with me. Now, the substance of the candy cane, and I never heard this piece of it before either. In 1 Corinthians, it says, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock, which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Okay? Now, in Luke, he said, he is like a man building a house. Oh, he dug deep. And he laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrents burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been built well. What you and I have to understand as we go through life in general, that you can build your house on the sand, and when the water and the rains and the floods and the high wind comes, it's going to wash your house away because you haven't built it on a substance that will withstand. Satan says, I come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his task. But you and I need to be able to use the word of God to go, Satan, God has given us authority over you. And the reason that I have authority over you is that I have built my house not on sand. I have built my house on Jesus Christ, and Christ is the rock of my life. Some people will serve chariots, and some people will trust in horses. But a born-again believer, the Bible says, I will trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we build our house. When Ed went to the hospital, if his house was built on sand, he wouldn't be here today. If Larry Reed's house was built on the sand, he would not be here today. Keith Rhodes got wonderful reports the other day. If his house was not built on the rock of Jesus Christ, he wouldn't be here today. It starts with Jesus. It ends with Jesus. It is all about Jesus. And that's the reason for the season that we're here today. But here's what I like most of all. Peter says, for this is contained in Scripture. What a wonderful way to read a passage. Man, Peter's going, check it out. It's in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a very choice stone. Now, he just didn't give us a stone. He gave us the best of the best, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. And what a promise for us to take into the Christmas season. Matthew said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Now, the Lord just asked him, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, Simon at the time, said, you are Jesus Christ. So he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. And the word Peter in the original language meant rock. And he says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. You are rock. You are the Peters that are in the world today. You and I need to go into the world just like Peter did, understanding that we're important, understanding that we're all powerful, understanding that we have a supernatural power that backs up what we do, understanding that if the Bible says it, we can do it. An understanding that we need to do it because the Bible tells us to do it. Amen? And here's what I thought, and I never really thought that much about it. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We're all okay with that. But go back to the top. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. The master only gives a steward that he can trust the keys of his belongings. And I think God is looking across the churches of America today, looking for people to go, Lord, send me. Lord, send me. Whether it means send me to the town center or like Paige and Arnold and Mark and Colleen overseas, the Lord is looking, send me. Okay, I'll send you. I want to send me. Okay, I'll take you. Because he will give those that he trusts the keys of the heavens so that we can do what God has called us to do. Now, the color of the candy cane is important. Isaiah 53, and I love the passage, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, can you imagine if you're sitting down with someone that is unchurched? If you're sitting in an area that is oppressed and you can put nothing up at all that relates to Christianity, but you do have a candy cane, you can share with them the original shape was a shepherd's hook, and we have a shepherd and we shall not want. You flip it over, it's the first letter in the name of Jesus, and Jesus is our rock. But if you see the colors around it, you will understand that this is the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the very stripes, the very blood that was shed on that cross, you and I as born-again believers are healed. Not gonna get healed, we are healed. Acts says, be on guard. Be on guard for yourself and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made who? You. 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 You, the overseer, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The problem with the church today is that that doesn't mean a whole lot. Because if that really tugged at our heart, there wouldn't be a seat that would not have been occupied in every church across America today. Because he said, you are the overseer. Because he purchased the church with his blood. Not yours, and not mine, but with his. Ephesians says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And we've talked about the acronym of grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. How awesome is it that you could sit down this Christmas, no matter where you are, no matter how painful this Christmas might be, no matter if you've lost loved ones, lost job, financially desperate, whatever it might be, to go according to the riches of his grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. You might not have any money today, but you need to walk around and shout to the rooftop, my God has met every need that I got in my life. And when Satan begins to send more bills and you got money, my God has met every need that I got in my life. And when we don't feel good, my God has healed me by the stripes of Jesus Christ. And we need to begin to quote the Word of God. Why? Because there's life and death in the words that we speak. And we need to speak life into our situation and not death. 1 Corinthians says, and in the same manner. And maybe you'll look at this totally different. But in the same manner also he took the cup when he supped it, saying, the cup is the New Testament in my blood. When you look at that candy cane and you see the red marks around there, remember the covenant that God made with you and me, a covenant that is in his blood, not yours and mine, but his blood, a covenant that said you didn't do it here, but you can do it here, a covenant where God says you have two commands, love me and love others, and we're going to make it through. Now, never look at the candy cane the same. And here's a couple things I want to end with. First of all, the white of the candy cane has to remind us of the purity of Jesus Christ. And it has to remind you of the virgin birth. Because you see, the Lord needed a sacrifice. And he needed someone that was blameless and someone that was sinless. And not a person in this room would fit that. Not a person years ago would fit that. And that's why he was born of a virgin through the Holy Spirit. He was pure, he was blameless, and he was sinless. And when you look at the blood on that candy cane or that stripe that represents blood, he took the sins of everybody in this room, past, present, and future, and he put them upon himself for one reason. The Bible says, yet while we were still enemies, he still loved us. And that's a pretty great Christmas present to have. The three narrow red stripes remind us by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you and I have been healed. Now here's what I thought was really cool. The flavoring of the candy is peppermint, which is similar to hyssop. And it is used in the Old Testament for purification and for sacrifice. And it comes, peppermint, or this hyssop, comes from the mint family. So when you have that in your mouth and you taste the peppermint, you can think about the sacrifice that Christ made for us and the purification that he only had, but also what he did for you and for me. John says after this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, I'm thirsty, and a jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine, and they put it on a branch of this mint. And they brought it to his mouth, and that's when Jesus received the wine, and he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. See, people say that Jesus Christ died. He didn't die. He gave up his spirit. He told the Lord, he says, I'm done, I'm complete. Now, he was dead. Okay, Satan didn't kill him. Okay, he finished this all by himself. They put him in the grave, and as we know, on the third day, he rose again from the dead. But when you would bite that candy and taste the peppermint, you got to remember this one thing that is so important, that it is finished. He has completed everything that God has asked him to do. God is not waiting for Jesus to finish. God is waiting for the church to get up off their bottoms and get out and do what he's asked us to do. Okay? Amen. The other thing that I thought was unique about this is that when you break the candy, it should remind you what Christ did for us again. And if you look at 1 Corinthians, and we do it every time we have the Lord's Supper, and when he had given thanks, he break it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. So do this in remembrance of me. How awesome would it be that if you're really struggling and you're going through a tough time, go buy you a candy cane, break it, remember what Christ did for you, suck on the peppermint to see the sacrifice that Christ gave you, and when you break that piece of candy, to go, my Lord broke his life so that I might have life this Christmas. How awesome would it be to have that mental picture? And this is the other one. When you share candy, some of y'all are going, I ain't getting none of my candy. No, when you share your candy this Christmas, think about this. Give, and it's going to be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, because by the standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. You know, watch the kids. You know, like our little puppy dog. We will buy her toys. She does not share. You know, she got the toy, she gone. It's like, no, it's my toy. Leave your hands off of it, okay? You watch kids today. It's like, no, that's my sucker. You can't have it. But you see, we're not kids. We're not sucking on breast milk anymore. We're eating steak and potatoes. And you and I have got to learn today that we need to give back. Because, see, you can't outgive God. And the Bible says, give, and it will be given to you. Poured into your lap a good measure. Woo! Shake it together. Running over, because by the standard that you give is the standard that you get back in return. John says this, when we share our candy, that God so loved the world that he gave. And you can't give more than a child. But he gave his only begotten so that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Church, it makes no difference if it's Santa Claus. It makes no difference if it's a Christmas tree and lights and garlands and ornaments. It candidly makes no difference if it's a candy cane. What the world needs to understand this Christmas is that the real reason for this season is Jesus Christ. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.